verse 35, he begins, he says,
the lawyer asked him a question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the greatest and foremost, this is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets." And so we can see that, loving God, our Father, with everything that we have is the greatest commandment that there is, and then followed up with the second, and that is to love your neighbor, which is love for mankind. And we get into the love that we have for brethren. And we saw in John chapter 13 that Jesus here says, speaking to his disciples about love, in John 13 beginning in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so this love should define who we are, and we talked about that last week. And then we went through these headings here. First one was, love is having to say I'm sorry. Love is forgiving. Love is expensive. Love is more intent on solving a problem than winning an argument. Love is patient. Love is kind and refuses to keep score. It's not a game. Like some people hold things against one another, and it's not keeping score. And this one here, someone approached me about this idea of love is never easy, and that's what I have there, and it really ought to be what I put, and that is it's challenging at times. There can come a time in life where our actions of love toward others is easy, but not always. And a lot of times it is not easy. And so we're going to go with it challenging at times, which is really the same idea. And then Romans 14 and verse 19, as we concluded last week with this verse, it says that, "So then let us pursue the thing which make for peace and the building up of one another." And tonight, we're going to study members of one another, that we are members of one another. And because of this, we have a responsibility toward each other, members of the body. And so let's go ahead and get in to our study this evening. Once again, as we just read in Romans 14 and verse 19, we are instructed to build up one another. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. We're pursuing those things that are for building up one another. We're instructed to do this. This is the bigger picture of what our study is overall, and what we're striving to understand, how we can build up one another. And one of the ways to do that is to realize that we're members of one another. And so again, that's what we're looking at tonight. But this question here, what does it mean, and I'm asking this to you, what does it mean to build up one another? What is that? What does it mean when we read the instruction in Romans 14 to pursue building up one another? What's your thought on that, or maybe some other scriptures you might think of? Building up of one another. First of all, what's a word that we would think of? Another word for building up?
Encouraging.
Edify. Edification. You know, we see that in Romans chapter 14. In fact, we'll look at that here in just a moment. And to edify. There's other words that can go along with this, and it's not. These aren't real specific necessarily to building up, but it does carry the idea of
of edification, I have to exhort or to admonish, is another, is exhorting one another. But we're going to see that also carries the idea of provoking one another and stimulating one another, as we're going to read here in Hebrews chapter 10. But let's run over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll notice here a few times that it's mentioned here. First of all, in verse 12, again, we're just reading the verses here. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 says, "So also, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church." And within the same context, over in verse 26, he said pretty much the same thing. What is the outcome then, brethren, when each of you, when you assemble, each of you has a psalm, has a revelation, has a teaching, revelation, a tongue, has an interpretation? He says to let all things be done for edification, which is the building up of one another. That's why we come together. That's one of the reasons we come together and study God's Word, is we're seeking to build up one another in the faith. And then we do that through the means of the Scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see this again as Paul instructs the Thessalonians. He says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." And so, once again, the instruction to the church to be building up of one another. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 10, now this is not specific to the building up of one another, but it certainly carries that same idea of building up one another. He says, beginning in verse 24, he says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The writer here says to consider how to stimulate one another, or to provoke one another to love and to good deeds. And once again, that's an instruction that we have, that we have as a church, that we're supposed to do as far as building up of one another. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. And this here is really the context of our study. In Romans chapter 12, as we begin looking at this idea of being members of one another. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, he says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So we are individually members of one another. And we can recall just a few weeks back, it might have been a month or so ago, when we went through this in the Corinthians class to great length, as we spoke of and read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we're going to do tonight, and look at those verses again. And we read these scriptures about that we're members of one another, and we're all part of the body of Christ. And we can picture a circle on the board where Christ is the head of that body, and the members of the body of Christ are all inside, and we're all connected to each other in one way or another. And we learn to work together and to grow together. We are, as Paul says here, we are members, individually, members of one another. That tells us that we can't do this alone, because there's someone else that is counting on us, and we also need to be of service to them in one way or another. So, once again, pursuing love in the local church. So what's required and asking this question, and it's kind of a broad question. What is required to maintain unity in the local church? Now, the first thing you might think of is unity in the scriptures, right? Unity of the truth, and all being on the same page as that. I'm not necessarily looking for that. You could use that picture of, and obviously that's what it is unity of the scriptures. But what's required in order to do that? What's required in order to do that? What are some thoughts that you might have
on understanding?
That? Go ahead, sir.
Understanding.
Understanding. Okay.
I was going to say attitude.
Okay.
And studying and seeking the truth.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other thoughts?
Effort.
Say it again.
Great effort, endeavoring.
Okay.
Long suffering, some things like that.
Yeah.
And Ephesians 4.
I had this. I thought of working together because we're members of one another and we're striving together for the same cause. Remember in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at this later. See, I'm kind of jumping around. But Paul tells them, he says, in verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So we're all working together for the same thing. It's the same goal. We're working together for one purpose, for the same purpose. We're intent on one purpose. And we're all doing that together. Ephesians chapter 4 says it this way. In beginning in verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Each member working together causes the growth of the body. And so I believe it's this, at least what I'm wanting to look at, it is working together, striving together for this one purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 22 and 23, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is the body of Christ, and we are members together of that body of Christ. The term, as I have here, body is used to describe the church. The term body used to describe the church is used over 30 times in the New Testament. There's this analogy of the physical body and the spiritual body that is given for us in order to understand how the spiritual body ought to work, because we all understand the physical body and how it works. And so there's this picture of how the local church should function harmoniously by comparing the physical body with the spiritual. And let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read through this context here that Paul lays out for the Corinthians, and it's in regard to spiritual gifts. That's the specific subject here. However, there's still the working together and being members of one another. And Paul brings that out here. No body member can function effectively by himself. We need one another. And Paul tells us that here, beginning in verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. For if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? The spiritual body requires a team effort. It requires everybody working together. It's like I said, it's just a team effort, and not sure what's going on with the screen up here. Might be a bad cord. Let's try that. Romans chapter 12. We can just head over there. So, if you were to get, just to think of this, this idea here, if you get a speck of dirt in your eye, what happens? Your hand, besides the fact that it hurts, your hands and your fingers will go straight to your eye, in most cases. They would come to the rescue. You would not have to engage in a debate as to whether your finger is going to help your eye. It's just going to do it, right? God designed the body to work that way in unity. And the same principle is true when you hit your thumb with a hammer. Suddenly your entire body feels the pain of that impact of smashing your thumb. And in Romans chapter 12, in verse 15 here, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The Paul's body analogy draws two conclusions. I had a mind of its own tonight. There's two conclusions that we draw from this, and that is that every member of the body is important, and that every member needs every other member. And if the analogy for us to try to understand how the spiritual body works is, how did the physical body work? Then, by all means, smash your thumb with a hammer and let's see what happens. Every other member in your body is going to come to the rescue. Whether it's a speck of dirt in your eye, you cut yourself, or whatever it is, even if your feelings are hurt, there's senses in your body that come together to try to relieve that pain. That's how the physical body works. And Paul said, spiritual body, just the same. It's just the same. And so that's how we are to, that's how we are members of one another and how we are to cater to that idea. God did not design either the physical or the spiritual body to function alone. We need each other. Any thoughts up to that, up to this point? Thoughts or comments that you might have? Okay. So this next point, no body member should feel superior to another. And this is a big one, I think. And we're gonna look at another slide here in just a moment and talk about some of these different roles and different things that go on within the congregation. But this idea, no body member should feel superior to another. There's three scriptural references to the body analogy that Paul gives us. The first one, as we read, was in Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in all three cases, Paul emphasizes one point. There's many points, but there's one component that fits in order for this to happen, and for the, whether you're speaking of the human body or the spiritual body, and it's humility. It's the idea of humility. And so let's turn over to Romans chapter 3. And first of all, in verse 3, Romans 12, in verse 3, he says, For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. As he says here, not to think of himself more highly, basically placing yourself above another, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, here in verse 2, Ephesians 4 and verse 2, Paul says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. He's describing the characteristic of the individual that is needed in order to maintain unity within the church. And as he goes into verse 3, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 21, 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Let's see what's going on. Okay. Some members have greater visibility and more recognition than others. However, each one is important to the Lord and to the overall effectiveness of the body. Think of the damage it would do to the human body if certain members of your human body decided it didn't need other members. I mean, you think of the unity or the health of one's body and how greatly it would suffer if we felt that way. Well, so it is in the spiritual body that, as we say, we cannot say that we have no need of you, and I really can't imagine that someone would actually say that. But I think in some cases, maybe not here, but in some cases, that being done by actions of one another and the way that we treat one another. And I think what happens is people get away from this, the idea that we're members of one another, and what are we doing to one another when we treat others in this manner? We would never treat our own body that way. The scriptures say you don't treat your spiritual body either, because you would never do that to yourself. We need one another. Everybody is important. This here is a quote from Wilson Adams, and I thought it was appropriate for what we're studying here. He said, when it comes to the human body, it's easy to award the MVP trophy award to the expressive members on display, such as the mouth, hands, eyes, ears, etc. Are not the hidden parts, however equally as valuable, the bones, muscles, nerves, blood, etc.? For example, it takes every part of the body working together just to walk into a room, no part of the human body had the right to say to another part, I don't need you. And the same is true spiritually. You ever hurt your back or you pull a muscle or something like that, and you try to, I only laugh because it happens a lot with me, and you try to get up and walk, and it takes everything you have. And then when it doesn't hurt and you're just walking around, you kind of take those muscles for granted and other things within your body. It doesn't work that way. Everybody is important. Every member of the body is important. And every member needs every other member. Anybody have any thoughts? I know we're kind of cruising through this, but... All right. This next slide here, I've mentioned this earlier, what are some roles or things that different members do in the church? Now I'm going to pull up the first one because this is kind of the easy one. And this is, I think, what most people think of when we're talking about what our roles and responsibilities are within the church. And so I think these are probably things that we think of first, the evangelist or the preacher, the song leader, the one who leads the Lord's Supper, or lead prayers, perhaps Bible class teachers, even kids class teachers, we think of. Even preparing the Lord's Supper, I'm thinking someone who puts the Lord's Supper together so that the brethren can partake of it. These are some roles that are done within the church. And I think of this in relation to what Paul says here, how you have your visible members, the ones that are obvious. It's the ones that everybody sees. But what about within the church, what about some things that are done that are not seen? What are some things you can think of that are being done by members of the church? I can just leave it at that. What are some other things that go on in the church, or as we're all members of one another? I'm getting funny looks. One of them skipped out there. That first one is maintaining the church building inside and out. Those are things that go on. People come and they clean the building, or they'll work on the outside, they mow the lawn. Perhaps someone makes phone calls or sends notes to the sick or spiritually weak. Wouldn't we consider these things the things that people do? That's all part of the church. It's all necessary, and it's important that we all do them. And these things do happen, but they're not always known, right? Make meals for members in need. I was thinking of someone might be sick, or you know, somebody got hurt, and we want to help them out. There's that one there. What about send notes or tell the teachers or the preacher how encouraging the lesson was, or even discuss the lesson with them, whether it was on a positive note or maybe they had a question about something. This one here, send notes to visitors. Visitors fill out a visitor card and we might send them a thank you note or a note of encouragement for meeting with us. And then this final one, to study ahead of time for classes. How did that one, study ahead of time for classes, how would that contribute to the fact that we're members of one another? Specific on that last one, to study ahead of time for class, to be ready. Dad, what you thought? How would that contribute to the building up of the body of Christ?
It would add to the class and the material being covered.
Okay.
With input, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, it can. That's right. It can help bring understanding. It's happened. I know I do it, and Larry might admit to doing the same thing. As a teacher, we don't always say things the right way, and it's not coming across, right? We're trying to get something across. Even those that do the invitation, same thing. You know, did I get my point across? Well, in a class setting, if we're ready for the study, or we put some thought into what we're studying, it can really contribute to the benefit of the study. And that was my thought on that. But all of these things we think of as we're members of the church, and what is it that we do? Well, there's some of us that do the things that are listed on top, but then there's so many other things. You know, what about, you know, the note that I received from, you know, Denise because I was sick last week? I mean, how did that make us feel? And there's things like that contribute to the overall growth of the local church. So anybody have any thoughts on that, or anything you want to add to that or clarify or anything like that? I have one more slide for us to look at, and that is that all members must work hard at maintaining unity. We know that it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of study to be unified in the Word. There is an attitude. I forget who, I don't know if it was Kenny, talked about the attitude that we're to have as we study and we're maintaining that unity. In Romans, once we've looked at this, Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, pursuing the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, I read this to just a moment ago, and that is to being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As Paul says here, going back to verse 2, just reading it again, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The things that Paul mentions here, that the humility, the gentleness, and the patience that we're to have toward one another, and these things are required in order to have unity. And it's a unity of the Spirit. It's unity of the Scripture, an understanding of the Word. There's also the unity of the body. It's kind of interesting when you put that together. The human body is in unity, and it knows how to function, and knows how to walk and see and hear, and it does all these things because God designed our bodies this way. With the spiritual body, it's all based. It's based on the truth. It's based on the Scriptures. That our unity is. There's still the working together of one another that causes that growth. And we spoke of being built up with one another. We're growing together. That's based on the Word. Let all things be done for edification when you come together. That's based on the building up of one another through the Word. But how are we going to be able to maintain that unity of the Scriptures if, as members of one another, we can't stand each other, or there's hard feelings toward one another? How is that going to affect our unity and understanding of the Scriptures? It's gonna affect it greatly. For if, as members of one another, we can't work together. And even at one time we did work together, but now we can't work together because of, like we talked about last week, perhaps bitterness might set in, hard feelings, and different things like that. And so it takes work. It takes work. This next thought here, good marriages and strong churches don't just happen. It takes work. And I think that's a good analogy when you look at a marriage. It takes a lot of work over time, and there's a lot of growth, and there's ups and downs, but we understand that it takes a lot of work. Things that destroy a marriage will destroy a church, a congregation, lack of attentiveness, taking others for granted, selfishness, which is ultimately a lack of love for one another. And that, I mean, that's both for marriages and within within the church. Taking others for granted, lack of attentive, not being aware of other members, not being aware of the needs of others, not being aware of spiritual needs of others and over, of the overall congregation. Selfishness sets in, and ultimately the lack of love for one another. Philippians, let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning of verse 1, he says, "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul here gives us something to really consider, and it's really similar reading to Ephesians chapter 4 in the first three verses there that we've read through tonight about being of the same mind, maintaining that same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. He says to do nothing from selfishness. In kind of a broad question, but what, in a lot of cases when divisions happen, what's the reason for it? Like, what's ultimately behind the reason that a congregation might split up or be divided? I know there can be a lot of reasons, and it comes back to the scriptures, but maybe a lack of understanding of that. But I think it's this what he talked about, selfishness. Is people get so focused on their own agenda, their own whatever they want, and I think it's easy to do that. I think we can all relate to that. But then if we forget about, you know, what Paul said back in Ephesians chapter 4 about with humility of mind and gentleness and forbearance with one another, patient. If we throw that out the window, then, you know, who knows where you're going to end up. You're going to end up with a divided congregation. With humility of mind, he says here in verse 3, "Let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." And I think that goes well with what we're speaking of. As we're members of one another, we're considering others. Now, beyond ourselves, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul said the same thing. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Verse 4 here back in Philippians, do not look out for your own interest, personal interest, but also for the interest of others. It takes work. It takes working together to grow and to build up one another and to become a stronger unit. Another quote here from Wilson Adams. He says, "Would someone characterize you as a criticizer or a complainer?" He says, "It is essential that we look for the best in one another and remember to bear with one another. That means that we exercise patience together and go the extra mile of love. It means I don't always have to get my way and that I verbalize my appreciation for you. After all, we are members of one another, and the only way that works is if we all work together." And that really, the picture of being one another is that picture of the physical body, and everybody works together seamlessly. And the spiritual body is to do the exact same thing. We are to work together seamlessly. In the same way, the physical body, God designed the spiritual body. He designed it
might be, it's more challenging because our bodies just automatically do it for us. I mean, we really don't have to put any thought into what's going to happen when you smash your thumb. Your body's going to come to the rescue and it's going to do what it's designed to do. But for some reason, when it comes to the spiritual body, when a member is caught in sin and they maybe it's fornication and they're gone. They've left the church. And I've seen it where the church doesn't do anything about it. They don't even go after them. They say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, your member, your thumb just got cut off. What are you going to... But we don't react to those kinds of things. And I believe that as a spiritual body, we need to react in those ways, the positive ways, and that we need to react because we're members of one another. We all need one another. Does anybody have... I've got just a few closing slides, but that's kind of wrapping up our study. Does anybody have anything that you want to add or any thoughts or comments to that? So this is what we looked at here tonight, that no body member can function effectively by him or herself. We need each other. We need one another. No body member should feel superior to another. All body members must work hard at maintaining unity. It takes a lot of work. Every member of the body is important, and every member needs every other member. Romans 14 and verse 19, once again, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Next week's topic, we're going to be looking at being devoted to one another. And as I said, a lot of these topics really flow together, and we can see that, but I believe it, we're doing it good justice to take time to look at these each topic specifically, and we can draw out from each of them what we can. Yeah,
I guess my mind, the idea of what you said tonight about working together and, you know, the body functioning together, and a few times you mentioned the ups and downs, and it's not always easy. And I think that's where we as individuals, at least myself, have to really work hard at saying something or doing something in a situation where it would be considered negative or there's tension or there's maybe the hard feelings or whatever, and that sometimes you tend to, instead of bringing them out, keep them in and don't say anything and just kind of go along with it, that type of thing. And I don't know, maybe others do that as too, but if we were to bring those out with others or a specific member or stuff like that, that's going to be something that's going to aid in the body becoming stronger as brothers and sisters become stronger with their relationship with each other. I don't know, I guess I just kind of wanted to emphasize that I think that's something that we probably need to work on and that type of thing with one another.
In Romans 12 and verse 15, we read this earlier, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There's two sides to that, right? As we're members of one another, there's this responsibility that we have. In this case, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And have it down in 1 Corinthians 12 is another one. There's so much here. In 25... there should be no divisions in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another, right? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, and one is honored, all members honor and rejoice it. It seems that, like, I think a lot of times we when we think of maintaining unity, we think of, oh, this person did this against me, and so it's always like a negative thing, like somebody hurt my feelings, I don't want to...
But the other side of that is that when a member is honored, that all the members rejoice with it. And so we need to be approaching people for the blessings that they are to us and to the congregation, just like the responsibility that we have to correct them. Or, you know, you hurt my feelings, it's like, okay, let's talk about it, it's probably not a big deal, but we need to make sure that we are reaching out to them and on that positive note as well.
Well, we have a often we get defensive when somebody comes to us about something. And you know, if we're defensive about it, then they're going to be more hesitant the next time to come to us. We need to be willing to listen to them, do a self-check, look in that mirror, and see if they're not telling us something that's truthful. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're not defensive, if you keep the communication open, you can get more done that way.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, instead of shutting down and taking it so personal that how dare you come at me like that? You know, how could I be wrong? We're all wrong. At some point in time, we're all wrong.
Yeah, the wisdom in that, in what we're talking about, is the definition of wisdom, right? Being able to see the outcome before you make the move. So, suppose you don't say anything or you don't do anything. That's where we grow as Christians. We realize by not, we're making the choice not to say something, and instantly we realize that's not going to have a good outcome if we sweep something under the rug or, you know, whatever. And we need that wisdom within us. That's wisdom we need to be praying for as we're members of one another. How is my action going to affect the other member and the body as a whole? And again, we've got to look at both sides of it, the positive and the things like that can cause a disunity. But yeah, I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and end there, and next week we'll move on to being devoted to one another.